I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, prosecutors say they will not charge a transgender wrestler with alleged sexual assault of their female opponent, citing issues around consent. Plus, a male substitute teacher claims to be non-binary, so he gets to watch young girls get dressed in a locker room. We'll have the exclusive. And Iran is coming to Seattle for the World Cup. How do you feel about it? We'll discuss that and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. Good gracious, we have a lot to get to on the show today. Look, people have lost their freaking minds. We talk about this on the show all the time, and it's one of the reasons the show is called Undivided. I think the best way we cannot be divided is by not looking at all these issues as red versus blue, but looking at it as sane versus insane. And people have let political issues get to them so much that they're willing to ruin their lives over it. So there was an arrest made of the guy who assaulted the signature gatherer on camera in Puyallup and then took voter signatures with him and fled. He was booked, arrested by the Pierce County Sheriff's Office and booked for robbery in the second degree, which makes sense. He stole something by force. His name is Benjamin Brown. And I heard that news and I'm just thinking, Ben, was it freaking worth it? And I don't know what motivated it yet. He could just be really annoyed that somebody asked him to sign something and there's a sign saying they shouldn't be there. And he thought he'd take it upon himself to steal the signatures, to assault a woman who was gathering signatures, and then to flee. Now, I will say, as of this moment, they haven't recovered the signatures. So those are, the signature gatherer estimates, 20 to 25 voter signatures. Those are votes. The signatures are votes that will not be counted, that will not be included, that were stolen. And what did he throw them out the window? The Pierce County Sheriff's Office says they're still looking for the forms. Sounds like he probably hurled them out the window on his way to wherever he was going. But this guy, again, Benjamin Lee Brown, was booked yesterday into the Pierce County Jail on a charge of robbery in the second degree. So that case will now go to prosecutors. And look, I think there is actually other charges that you can add here. There is a gross misdemeanor that has to do with interfering with the initiative process, depending on his criminal history, whether he has any or not. If he has no criminal history, I highly doubt that they're going to go forward with charges of robbery in the second degree, although I think they should to set an example. But they'll probably knock it down or go with the gross misdemeanor of interfering with a signature gathering. But I mean, come on, is that really worth it? Even if he was just, I don't know his politics. I got to be honest, the guy doesn't look like a flaming liberal. We found some other pictures of him online. He's got a hat that says like faith, family, freedom. I'm like, I don't know any liberals that wear a hat like that. So maybe he was just really ticked off that there's somebody gathering signatures when the store doesn't want them there. I've made my opinion on that issue known. As much as Let's Go Washington probably hates me saying this, I believe in private property rights. And if Safeway doesn't want signature gatherers there, I think that they should be able to say you can't be there. But there's case law on this that basically says if you've made something a public square, you can't just pick and choose. So Safeway would have to say for an extended period of time, no one's allowed to do any sort of soliciting of any kind, Girl Scout cookies, whatever it is. But my local Safeway, they allow the Girl Scouts to be there. So they have to allow signatures to be there under existing case law. And even if you feel strongly about it, I feel strongly about private property rights. Am I going to assault someone and interfere in an election and disenfranchise voters over it? Of course not. And it's not just a one-off. That's why I'm so riled up about it. It's been happening for 6 years. It's been happening for 10 Let's Go Washington initiatives in a row. And our leaders in the state won't say jack about it. Oh, it's strongly worded ex post will do. As they have press conference after press conference after press conference about Donald Trump's apparent wrongdoing. Because they love this. They love to see conservative initiatives. And Let's Go Washington and Brian Haywood, they love to see signature gatherers being harassed and assaulted. They love it, love it, love it. I firmly believe that with every fiber of my being. So this guy, Benjamin Brown, is going to potentially face a felony charge that carries with it up to 10 years in prison because he was triggered by a signature gatherer. And somebody told us in the comments yesterday, well, there's more to this story. It wasn't political. She was harassing him. What does harassing him mean? Asking him to sign the initiative to repeal the income tax? And even if she was being annoying as hell, you're a grown-ass man, walk past her, do your grocery shopping, get back in your truck, and freaking leave. Now you're behind bars. It's not worth it. But a lot of credit to the Pierce County Sheriff's Office for taking this seriously. And this is why we need sheriffs to be elected, not appointed by politicians. If in Pierce County, they go to an appointed sheriff as they want to, it's going to be appointed by Ryan Mello, a far-left loony liberal. And you think that he'll appoint a sheriff that would go and arrest this guy for Rob 2? Of course not. That's why you need an elected sheriff and why we need to defend their ability to arrest people who break the law. And this guy committed robbery in the second degree on camera by the book. All right. So that is a good update, I guess. I don't even... It's stupid and ridiculous and sad that it even happened. So I don't even know if I call that a good update. This guy's like ruined his life over it. Unreal. All right. I have an update for you that is pretty disappointing. In the case of Callie Keeler. So Callie Keeler, of course, the Puyallup High School wrestler, who we have the video here, was says she was sexually assaulted by an opponent back in December, reports it to the coach only to find out that the opponent, she says, pressed their fingers into her private area for an extended period of time, turned out to be a boy. So it was like being violated twice, violated once. And you saw it in that video on Callie's face, violated once and then violated again when she learned that she wrestled against a boy without her consent and that it was a boy who had allegedly done that to her. Well, we've been waiting for a charging decision from the Pierce County Prosecuting Attorney's Office on whether they were going to charge this transgender wrestler with sexual assault. Well, that charging decision has come, and Prosecuting Attorney Mary Robnett says she will not be charging this case. And I said at the beginning, I thought it was going to be a difficult case to prove. And to be fair, I did say that because you have a wrestling match where the literal sport is wrestling around and touching and grabbing and pulling and all of that. And so how do you prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was an intentional sexual assault? As much as I believe it was done intentional, based on what Callie Keeler has told us, based on her 15 years wrestling since a young age, never having had that done to her, based on the experts, the people who have wrestled at the highest levels and wrestling coaches we spoke to for our original story, that said you might have what they call checking the oil, that's an accident, but you don't have it, you know, firmly for an extended period of time in the way that it happened here. But this is what the prosecuting attorney said in a memo to the Pierce County detective who investigated this case. It says the biggest barrier to charging this case is the case law concerning consent in athletic contests. As you are aware, rape in the third degree requires not just proof that sexual intercourse occurred, but that it occurred without consent. She said, I have no doubt that the victim did not want any penetration to occur, but unfortunately, that is not the definition of consent to which we are legally bound. And she goes on to say, we cannot prove rape 3 at trial. No reasonable court would convict this suspect at a bench trial, given the obvious defense of consent. To which I say, look, I understand that. But where was Callie Keeler's consent? Where was Callie Keeler, a sophomore girl's consent to be touched in any form or fashion by a boy? She didn't get the opportunity to consent because the adults around her, who knew damn well that was a boy, didn't tell her, because the state of Washington says we're not going to tell her, because the state of Washington treats males like females, boys like girls. That she didn't have an opportunity to consent to a boy allegedly sticking his fingers into her private area. let alone, and even if that hadn't happened, she as a girl should have a right to decide and to consent, as long as we're going to be using that word, to a boy touching her at all. Or are we not doing the consent thing anymore? Are we not doing the believe girls anymore? Does no mean yes now? All these things that liberals said they cared about and protecting girls and protecting women, out the door if someone says they're a boy or they're a girl. If a boy says they're a girl. So I'm sorry, I understand from a legal perspective and a criminal perspective, consent in this situation is difficult, given that she consented to a wrestling match. She didn't consent to a wrestling match against a boy. And you know the people who really should be charged with a crime? Are the adults that let it happen. The people who should really be charged with a crime, facilitating sexual assault, the superintendent of public instruction, Chris Reichdahl, the governor, Bob Ferguson, the attorney general, Nick Brown, and every single lawmaker that has put this policy in place that gives girls no consent. They don't get a consent when they wrestle on a mat with a boy. They don't get a consent when there's a boy in their locker room. Doesn't matter. The feelings of girls, the rights of girls, the ability to consent for girls, it doesn't matter in the state of Washington. It is absolutely disgusting. Now, Prosecutor Robinette went on to say, to talk about some of the, you know, sentiment around this case. She said, "I am aware that the suspect is apparently a transgender individual, but that has no bearing on my charging decision. The law is clear that the issue is whether penetration occurred, regardless of, quote, whether such persons are of the same or opposite sex." She said, "We will not be charging this case because we cannot prove rape 3 at trial. This does not mean that I approve of this conduct or that I have no sympathy for the victim. I reviewed all of the documentation provided, the interviews, the victim's statement, and the videos of the event. It is apparent this had a profound impact on the victim, and I believe she will be disappointed by this decision. But we cannot charge a criminal case we cannot prove." Now, what do I say about that? I am angry. I'm outraged. But I don't know if a case against, I agree with her, frankly, that a case against this trans wrestler couldn't have been proven beyond a reasonable doubt, given all the circumstances. You know, we don't have video from the video we have. If we watch the video we have, Nicole, can you play that again? You can clearly tell that Callie's in distress. You can clearly tell that something is happening that disturbed her profoundly. She even says in the moment what's happening to her. Her fingers are in my coochie. She says to her mom, pleading to her mom. Now, we know that there is somebody sitting behind that seemed to be recording it on video. We don't believe that that video has turned up yet. But even if it had, how do you prove the case against the transgender wrestler? The case to me, again, is against the adults that allowed it to happen to her. And that said, you're not deserving of consent because you're a cisgender female. So we don't care how you feel. We don't care if you feel unsafe. We don't care if you feel violated. We don't care if a boy sticks his fingers inside of you. We don't care. And we're going to allow it to keep happening. And we're not going to change anything about what we're doing. And all these, for the love of God, all of these sane Democrats, people who want to call themselves moderate Democrats, bullshit. If you haven't come out and said, this is wrong, what we're doing to girls is wrong, we're stealing girls' sense of safety and security, we're erasing them, you're not a moderate. You're a fringe lunatic. That is a fringe lunatic's perspective. And you've got people like Congressman Adam Smith, who I thought was sane, who's trying to defeat the initiative to stop this very thing from happening. Lieutenant Governor Denny Heck, who I thought was sane, trying to defeat the initiative to stop this very thing from happening. You don't get to call yourselves moderates anymore. If you don't defend girls on this issue, you're a fringe lunatic. There is absolutely no gray area. You have no respect for women, no respect for girls. And you don't care if a girl is subjected to this. So the only, I guess, recourse for Callie is the lawsuit that was filed yesterday. We had Callie, her mom, and her attorney on the show. As you know, they have filed suit with help from the Alliance Defending Freedom against the Washington Interscholastic Activities Association, the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction, the superintendent himself, the Puyallup School District, including individuals specifically within the Puyallup School District who knew about what happened to Callie and didn't report it to police as required by law for a matter of several months. Now, one asterisk to the charging decision from the prosecuting attorney's office, they tell us they are still weighing the case on failure to report. And that is open and shut. There's no disagreement. There's no debate about that. There were multiple individuals, including two coaches and individuals within the school. We have the email evidence, who were told by Callie I was sexually assaulted and who didn't do anything about it, didn't report it to police as required by law. So if the Pierce County prosecuting attorney comes back and says, we're not charging that case either, I'm going to have a big issue. Then we're going to have a real big problem, because this, I understand what you're saying. I understand the difficulties of it and the unique nature of the situation, but that is cut and dry. They did it in Longview. They charged a school superintendent in Longview with failure to report. They went and put handcuffs on her and took her to jail. So that is the only outcome. If you're really talking about cases you can prove, you can obviously prove failure to report. They failed to report for 2 months until we contacted them, and then they picked up the phone and called the police. So the question for the prosecuting attorney's office is, what are you going to do about it? Or does it not matter? Do we not need teachers and coaches and people who are mandated by law to report these things anymore? So it's just outrageous. We did reach out, by the way, to all the individuals who were named in the suit, to the WIAA, to the Puyallup School District, to the Superintendent of Public Instruction. We got similar responses from all of them, which is basically, you know, we're aware of this. We can't comment on pending litigation. We're reviewing it, et cetera. And we don't expect them to comment, really, because they're being sued over it. But we'll see where that case goes. All right. Speaking of no respect for girls, you guys, The exclusive we have today for you is one of the most outrageous examples of how all of these freaking adults have allowed radical gender ideology to put little girls in uncomfortable, unbelievable situations. We'll have it coming up next. It takes us to the South Kitsap, Central Kitsap School District. First, if you're thinking about, I don't know, getting your family the hell out of a state that allows men in women's spaces, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. He's got a lot of clients who are moving out of state. Lon Westover, an undivided viewer, decided he was going to move to Arizona. Wes helped him sell his home, helped him stage it to make sure he could get top dollar.
And they stage it in such a way that it's so inviting. Super inviting. You're looking at the pictures going, huh, how come I never think about putting my out like that? You got to do some things that just spice the place up so people look at it and go, wow, this is something.
Wow. So go from Sell with Wes. I can't, every time I do that, wow. So I want to make that a sounder in the show. Just Lon saying, wow. Go from Sell with Wes to Sold with Wes, peruse some of his recent listings. And also, I would just start with a free market analysis where he can tell you what the market is looking like in your area, because there are a lot of listings going up. And it might mean you can have the same outcomes. You might just need to put a little more work in on the front end, and Wes can help you with that. Sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. And with that, it's a doozy. Let's get to our segment. Unbelievable. This one is, you got to take a deep breath before you even get to it. So this story takes us to Clahoya Secondary School in Silverdale, Washington. It's the Central Kitsap School District. It is a story about a substitute teacher named Zachary Simmons. So Zachary Simmons, we have some images of him here, has been a substitute teacher in a variety of capacities within the school, but also has been a substitute physical education teacher. So Zachary, as you can see, dresses like a man, even identifies as a man there on Facebook, has a girlfriend by the looks of the photos, so is obviously attracted to women. We have found images of Zachary going back to his time at this very school and his time at WSU after that, where he presents as a male. I have no reason to believe in the world that Zachary Simmons is not a biological male. We have photos of him going back to 2019 when he was pretty young. And I looked at the picture. I'm like, yeah, it's obviously a male. So we have every reason to believe, dresses like a man, talks like a man, walks like a man, calls himself a man, that Zachary Simmons is in fact a man. So why then is Zachary Simmons being allowed to go into the girls' locker room while he's filling in as a substitute PE teacher. Multiple parents, two teachers, and multiple students tell us that Zachary identifies as non-binary. And as a non-binary individual, was allowed to go into the girls' locker room, sit in an office in the locker room that has a big wall of mirrors and was perfectly positioned, or a big wall of windows, and was perfectly positioned to be able to watch girls as young as 12 years old get dressed and undressed. So again, the pictures again, please. Zachary, male, calls himself a male on Facebook, is in a relationship with a woman, clearly sexually attracted to women then, dresses like a guy, acts like a guy, has, to the best of our knowledge, always done so. But now, according to these individuals within the Central Kitsap School District, has decided from time to time that their gender is fluid and changing. And their gender can be whatever they want their gender to be on any given day. So we spoke to parents of one of the girls who was in the locker room when this man was in the locker room. And was incredibly uncomfortable. The parents didn't want us to use their names, but they're understandably very upset by this. Thank you guys for being here. I just want to let our audience know that we are not going to show your faces or use your names because we're worried about retribution to your kids. But Mom, why don't you start with you. How did you become aware that this had happened?
There's actually a Facebook group for parents that are against kids being forced into views that they don't agree with or the parents don't agree with. And it was brought to my attention by somebody posting a picture from another teacher about this. And so then I asked my daughter, like, hey, have you experienced what's going on? And she said, yeah, I was uncomfortable. So I just didn't change and I walked away. That's how I found out it was Facebook.
Wow. So that gave you the information you needed to ask your daughter. And she was in the locker room when this guy was in there then?
Yes. She said that he was sitting in the office looking at the computer and drinking his coffee while everyone was supposed to be changing after class.
And explain to me the office situation. So the office isn't kind of private, so to speak.
No, it's the office has a desk that faces out towards the locker rooms, but it is glass walls. And so there is a straight view from the office into the locker rooms as everybody is changing.
Dad, I have to imagine, as the father of a daughter, you're pretty upset by that.
Oh, I was furious. That's actually intruding on their privacy. I don't understand how the school district can even think that it's okay to begin with.
Yeah, Mom, so you mentioned that your daughter had been there. Was she supposed to change for something in particular, or was it gym class?
She was supposed to change out of her gym clothes and back into her regular street clothes to go on to her next class, because I believe her PE was towards the end of the day, but she had another sport that required her to be in workout clothes anyways, so she opted to just stay in her workout clothes for the rest of the school day instead of changing.
And to the best of your kind of knowledge from what you've talked to her about, does this guy look like a guy?
Yes. She said he wears jeans or shorts, like cargo shorts, and wears t-shirts or long sleeve shirts. He does not wear anything feminine in any way, shape, or form. Outside of his long hair, he does not look or act like a girl.
Gotcha. So I guess what is your plan as parents? Because this is a substitute teacher that, you know, is probably going to be back at some point. So do you have a plan of action as parents?
Originally, our plan was, you know, if you're ever uncomfortable, to walk away from a situation. If the school tries to force you to do something, let them take you to the office and let them call mom and dad. Hmm. We'll handle it. We're actually looking at switching over to a private school or some kind of co-op homeschooling program since we both work full time. The other thing is, I mean, this teacher doesn't just do middle school PE. I mean, they're doing elementary school classes. They are a substitute for CK school district, which means they're teaching elementary kids. They're teaching high school. They're teaching middle school. And she has already said that he's actually been her substitute for three of her other classes when teachers have been gone.
Yeah.
So this isn't a new person to them. They are very familiar with him. But she goes, no, he's never been a girl. This is not a thing. But I mean, what is he doing stuff at an elementary school now too? And we just don't know.
And so they call him Mr. Simmons?
She says sometimes it's Mr. Simmons, sometimes it's Miss Simmons.
I hate to laugh because it's a disturbing situation, but it's gotten absolutely outrageous. Dad, what would your message be to the school?
Figure it out, because eventually you're going to have enough parents coming into that school where it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah. And your daughter who went through this is how old?
She's 12.
Absolutely outrageous. And that a 12-year-old would have to make. I mean, you got to be proud of her, though, for recognizing, like, I'm not comfortable. I'm not going to change in there.
Yes, very.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, you're good parents. You taught her, like, if you're not comfortable, you get out of there. So, all right, well, we appreciate you guys bringing this to our attention. I know that folks up there are talking about it. And so the school's certainly aware. We've reached out to them, got no response so far. But update us if you hear anything, okay?
Will do. Thank you.
Good grief. Help us all. But we did just get a response from the Central Kitsap School District. They're not confirming, like, non-binary, any of that. They just said, we want all students to feel safe inside our schools. In this instance, a miscommunication regarding supervision assignments led a substitute teacher to report to an office inside the locker room during first period to review lesson plans for the day. The locker room was not in use at the time. During second period, when school officials learned of the miscommunication, they addressed the situation immediately. A different staff member supervised the locker room for the remainder of the day. Because this involves student and personnel privacy matters, the district will refrain from additional public comment at this time. Central Kitsap School District follows all state and federal laws and remains committed to providing a safe and welcoming learning environment for all students and staff. If you had a man in the girls' locker room, you do not follow all federal laws. I mean, that's against Title IX, the current administration's interpretation of Title IX. So I just disagree with that. But yes, the state would allow you to put a man in a girls' locker room. And even if, for the record, what kind of miscommunication? Let's just say that this guy isn't non-binary. They just, like, decided to put a male teacher to supervise the girls' locker room. What kind of miscommunication leads to that? That doesn't make any sense. So that is what the Central Kitsap School District is saying. I imagine now that we've covered this, we're going to have a lot more parents coming forward about it. And look, is it my favorite thing to put the name of this guy out there? No, I don't particularly love it, but we have no choice anymore. We have no choice. This is what the state has done through their permissive attitude towards this radical nonsense. So this is the path that we have to go down. We did reach out to him, by the way, to ask Nicole, did you just ask, like, why, what is it? What did you
why
ask
Why he thought
him?
That would be appropriate.
Why he thought that would be appropriate and why? I mean, I just, even if you think from time to time you're a woman or whatever it is, you're not, and you know that. And, you know, there are transgender people who know they're not the gender they present as. And we have transgender people who we've had on this show who said, yeah, I would never go into, like, Ari. Ari transitioned, still presents as a female, but is a male, and Ari goes into the man's bathroom. Ari doesn't try to put himself in women's spaces. So by all means, like, live the life that makes you the most happy, but you can't trample on other people's rights in the process. We all have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But your pursuit of happiness cannot interfere with my pursuit of happiness. And it certainly cannot be thrust upon young girls as young as 12 years old. Outrageous. I have to imagine that's not the last we're going to hear about that story. All right, coming up next, Bob Ferguson seems super confused. Is the economy doing great? Is it doing bad? Is our budget in a dire situation? Is it just dandy? I have a feeling he's trying to gaslight people. We'll discuss first. Our friends at Valentine Roofing can help you with your summer to-do list. If you just want your house looking its best, have friends and family over on the deck, in the backyard, wherever you spend time, reach out to Valentine Roofing. They can come and inspect your roof if you think it's time to get a new one. If it isn't, they'll repair it. They can also come out, clean your roof, clean out your gutters. Exterior cleaning, which I think is something people overlook often, is like, you don't realize how dirty your windows were until you get them cleaned and look out and you're like, wow, I can see through my window now. Call our friends at Valentine 206 Roofing. They also have flexible financing options right now. Qualified homeowners can take advantage of $0 down, 0% financing with 6 months deferred interest when paid in full within the promotional period. Financing is subject to approved credit. When you see that red Valentine van, you know you're in good hands. So call our friends at Valentine Roofing. Tell them you heard about them right here on Undivided. 206 Roofing. So Governor Bob Ferguson has talked about how dire the state's upcoming budget crisis is. So why is he bragging about the state's economic output? It's strange. The segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to do just that. So as you know, earlier this week, the Office of Financial Management put out a pretty doom and gloom letter about the state of Washington. Budget, its fiscal cliff we're heading towards, saying it might be the most difficult one that any of them have ever had to navigate before. Of course, they blamed things like inflation and population growth and didn't mention anything about out-of-control spending, because we know that the budget has increased at a rate that far exceeds both inflation and population growth. So I really felt like the letter was just one big cover for Bob Ferguson. But Bob, at the same time, you know, he put out something saying, hey, I've seen the letter. Yeah, we have a lot of tough decisions to make. He said they're not going to be increasing or expanding any programs. And he said this to Como News' Chris Daniels.
Hey, this could be pretty dire.
So I think, and he's gonna, you know, he knows how bad it is and all of this, but on X, he's just gaslighting people. He's gaslighting people into thinking, oh, you know, it's not all doom and gloom like Brandy Cruz says. So he put out this, the nation's 250th anniversary State of the States report. So they do a State of the States report every year, but this one just happens to be 250 years since our country's birth. So this is 2026. And of course, he highlights only the things that look really good for the state of Washington. And it's just so tone deaf at a time when businesses are fleeing and when we're heading off a fiscal cliff. He says the latest State of the State report shows Washington ranks first in the nation in economic productivity, ninth highest in economic output, and 11th in hourly earnings growth. That's great news. But we must continue to work on tackling our economic challenges. Washington's income inequality is worse than half of the other states. Our poverty rate is middle of the road. He said some other encouraging findings. Washington is in the top third of states in average years of education, voter participation, life expectancy, and air quality. Look, he says he's bragging about us being first in the nation for economic productivity and ninth highest in economic output. Well, he does everything he can to decimate those statistics. Like, that should make him stop and think, like, hey, our state has been doing pretty well. Maybe we shouldn't punish job creators. Maybe we shouldn't punish innovators if we'd like our rankings to stay very high. But also, he conveniently ignores some of the really bad news for Washington State. So I know there's a lot going on in this graphic if you're watching, but it basically has a summary of our state and their rankings, you know, 1 through 50, 1 being the best, 50 being the worst, in all these different areas. And for a visual, if it's green, it's good. If it's yellow, you're in the middle. If it's red, you're bad. You know what sticks out to me? The areas that were red? Depression. We are 47th for depression and 36th and also red for youth depression. Now,
darkness, maybe.
Could be the darkness, but I also think everybody's got this victim mentality and they're always feeling like they're depressed. We're also red for fatal overdoses. Gee, it's almost as if we've had a totally unmitigated homeless and drug crisis in our state for the better part of 15 years. The labor force participation rate, 36th. Is that the sign of a strong economy? No, it's not. Long-term unemployment rate, one of the worst. Oh, and this is such a telling statistic. Long-term unemployment rate. Remember, you're only unemployed if you want to be in the job market and can be in the job market, but aren't at the job market. So for instance, you're not like unemployed if you're a kid and don't have a job. Does that make sense? Or if you're on permanent disability or something. 46th, one of the worst states in the nation for long-term unemployment. You know what that is? They get such good benefits and they get to suck on the taxpayer teat for so long that they don't need to be employed. Employment to population ratio also very, very low. I also think it's interesting, trust in the federal government. So it has this little trend line, where is something trending up or is it trending down? Trust in the federal government, trending way down. Of course it is. All they talk about is Donald Trump's horrible, Donald Trump's bad.
I mean, you've even plummeted the youth depression.
Youth depression.
Is terrible. Well, yeah, because we are telling kids everything's terrible.
Yeah, you're a victim.
Here.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're putting them in locker rooms with males.
Yeah, maybe that's why they're depressed. It's horrible. Our suicide rate also trending in the wrong direction. And this is telling. Satisfaction with your current life also trending in the wrong direction. So he can brag about a couple one-off statistics. But look, I've never argued that I've never said Washington State hasn't been a good place for business. There are a reason so many innovators and job creators and tech companies came here, because our state historically has been a very good place for those statistics aren't accidental. We didn't have an income tax. We didn't have a capital gains tax. And now you're doing all these things that are reversing the very reasons why people came here and came to build businesses here. Capital gains tax, very high estate tax. Now we have an income tax. Right now it's on millionaires. Tomorrow it'll be on everyone. And so it's almost like you can celebrate the few areas that we're doing very well, but the actions that you're taking right now, Bob Ferguson, are going to plummet those figures very, very quickly. And you think that he would be aware of that. And it's a good time to remind you that next week we're off the show, but I will be doing a series of reports on why people are leaving Washington State for Idaho. And certainly they're leaving for other red states as well, but we talked to multiple business owners who have taken their money and their jobs and all the other taxes and revenue they contributed to our coffers and left the state. We also talked to 7 political refugees who decided to leave the state for a variety of reasons. And we talked to 2 of the top real estate agents in Idaho about what they're hearing from people who come there from Washington State. Washington now represents 50% of their business, people leaving Washington for Idaho. They said that's a good indicator. They're like, we know when a state has done something dumb, because all of a sudden we get this influx of people into our state from there. And they said Washington is at the top of the list right now. So unbelievable. I mean, I don't know, Bob. Spastic. Sending mixed messages, if you will. That segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to do just that. A whole bunch of you have taken the First Mark Challenge, firstmarkinsurance.com, and you're saving money. Don't we all just want to save money, especially if you hardly have to lift a finger? I guess you just have to lift, just type it in, firstmarkinsurance.com. And then that's like the most work that you'll do.
Yeah, she's lifting fingers there. They can't see, but.
Yeah, I was sorry. First Mark, I guess. And then they'll take it from there. They're going to go out, shop their market of carriers, come back with their recommendations, and they could save you a bunch of money. We have undivided viewers and listeners who are saving thousands of dollars a year just by switching to First Mark. And in some cases, they get even better insurance than they already had. And I just love their customer service, because when you need them, you call and they pick up the phone and it's a real human being right here in Washington State. Not someone overseas who you can hardly understand, and then they put you on hold for 10 years and then hang up. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance company, so they always have your best interest in mind. All right, the time is upon us. The World Cup is starting. Now, in Seattle, technically it won't start until next Monday, June 15th. So here's the lineup at the initial stages for World Cup games in Seattle. Belgium v. Egypt on June 15th, Australia v. USA on June 19th. I hate saying this one, but I always remember it from the Miss World competitions. Bosnia Herzegovina You know, that's like you hear all these countries where you're like, oh, where is that? Versus Qatar. And then on June 26th, Egypt versus Iran. I did not realize that Iran was coming not only to the U.S. for the World Cup, but to Seattle for the World Cup. And look, I don't blame the members of the Iranian soccer team, but given the current state of things, maybe a little bit concerning. So there was all this hand-wringing over, is Iran going to even be allowed to come to the United States? What kind of restrictions are there going to be on Iran? So here's what's going to happen. So the Iranian World Cup players can only come into the U.S. one day before their matches. That's according to the Department of Homeland Security. So this article from Reuters says, Iran's national soccer team, currently training in Tijuana, Mexico, will be able to enter the U.S. the day before each of their three World Cup matches, the Department of Homeland Security says. Media reports over the weekend had quoted the Iranian ambassador to Mexico as saying that Iran's team would have to enter and leave the U.S. the same day they were playing, which raised questions over logistics and whether it would affect the team's performance. But the State Department says that was never true. They can come in the day before their match. You got better believe the feds are going to have their eyes on anyone here from Iran. And then the State Department said this. Thanks to the generosity of President Donald Trump, the Iranian team will be able to arrive the day before their matches. Thanks to the generosity of the President of the United States. on the back end, I asked you guys in our show poll how you feel about Iranians coming to Seattle and the Iran team being able to come to the U.S. and play here. But there is also a lot of other people from all around the world who are going to be pouring into the United States for these games, coming to places like Seattle. So, you know, given the current state of immigration enforcement in the United States, how do you make sure that people who don't like us very much aren't coming in for these games or aren't coming in and staying here? We're joined today by Mignon Houston. She is the deputy spokesperson for the U.S. Department of State. Mignon, welcome to Undivided.
Thank you. Brandy, it's great to be here.
Yeah, busy, busy time coming up for the U.S., for us here in Seattle. I think one of the big challenges is there's a ton of people coming in from all over the world. So are there any sort of special screenings that the State Department is doing to keep bad people out?
Well, look, Brandy, I think this is a great question. And we know that Americans all over the United States are preparing for one of the biggest sporting events of all time. We are very excited to be a part of this year's World Cup. We're actually here because the president during his first term helped successfully bid on the FIFA World Cup 2026. So at the highest level of government, you have commitments to ensure this is not only successful, but also very safe World Cup. As you know, the federal government has already provided $625 million to the 11 host cities, Seattle being one of them, to ensure you can hire additional law enforcement, give the extra overtime pay for those who are working the extra hours, use the resources that you need to make sure you have the perimeters and the fencing to keep the game safe, but also $500 million towards counter-drone protections and measures. There'll be counter-drone protections for all 78 of the matches, and that's never been done before. So we really are working quite closely with state and local law enforcement. We want to make sure you have the resources you need here at the federal government level, but also we really want it to be fun. We want it to be exciting. Game one starts today. The energy you can already feel, but the most important priority for us always is the safety and security of American citizens, and we're not going to waver on that.
Yeah, the counter drone. I saw some local police department with some crazy looking piece of device. I don't know, that's supposed to like disable drones. It's wild. When it comes to visitors coming into the U.S. specifically for the games, mm-hmm. do they like have to be ticketed? Did you start, you know, is it a special screening process beyond just a regular visitor coming to the U.S. for anything else?
We'll start with the fact that 55 million individuals already have a tourist visa. So that means they have a visa, they're eligible to come to the United States with that visa. But that visa really is just permission to request that you can enter. It doesn't allow you to enter because once you get to a port of entry, we have our partner agencies, the Department of Homeland Security, Customs and Border Patrol, they're going to follow up with their own vetting and screening. Additionally, we're making sure that right now with the Ebola outbreak, that countries and individuals who have traveled to those countries in the region in Africa, they're temporarily prohibited from entering the United States. We know that we also have countries around the world who do not need a visa to enter the United States. They're a visa, they have visa access through the electronic system. Really, they're visa waiver countries. That includes Canada and 42 countries. So they're able to come in, but still you're going to have that level of vetting at the port of entry. And so for those who need a visa, that's where the State Department comes in. That's where we have that high level of vetting and screening for those individuals. And once again, they have to go through the screening before they even get a visa. And that's if they have a ticket, maybe they don't have a ticket, but they just want to come down and enjoy the festivities. They still need that visa if they're from certain countries that require that. And that vetting will not be waived. It will be very high. We've been using all the tools. Because of Secretary Rubio's leadership, we've surged over 650 diplomats around the world to ensure we can meet the demand, just such high demand for these visas to come into the United States for this World Cup. As you mentioned, we are expecting millions of visitors around the world coming in. But that layered approach to security is very robust, it's very strong, and we're going to make sure it's safe and secure.
How do we make sure they all leave?
It's a good question. I mean, seriously. Really, abiding by the terms of your visa is a number one priority. And that's something that we are making sure we are mindful of when we're doing the adjudications. I was a consular officer myself, and that's what you're looking at. You're looking at databases from across federal agencies. You're looking at biometrics. You're looking at information to ascertain if this individual will abide by that visa. That is very important. And if I were a foreigner coming into the United States right now, we've seen this administration not waver, not compromise on the fact that we want individuals to abide by their terms of the visa. Look, the visa is a privilege. It is not a right. And this administration is very serious about making sure people abide by those immigration laws and U.S. laws in general.
Yeah, and I know you can't talk, we were told you can't talk specifically about Seattle, you know, and what's going on there, mm-hmm. but more broadly, you know, these games are being played in very different places, you know, like Florida is mm-hmm. much different than Washington State politically, and there's definitely all the stuff that plays out, you know, the political posturing. But do you expect, and is there, have you gotten any indication that there won't be a good working relationship in a very blue place like Seattle with the federal government? I mean, are they giving you what you need to be able to do your jobs?
You know, fundamentally, the safety and security of U.S. citizens is our number one priority. We really are focused on making sure everyone plays a role in that. And this president means what he says. He wants to ensure that foreigners, fans coming into the United States and American citizens feel safe. We are providing the federal funds. We are providing the expertise and the support. We are providing them directly to the 11 host cities and to neighboring locations that need it. We want to make sure that people understand that this is our highest priority, our highest commitment. And I hope that Americans across the United States know that whether you're a blue state or a red state, it's incumbent upon all of us to follow the recommendations from the Department of Homeland Security, Customs and Border Patrol, FIFA, the White House. Really, there's been preparations for over a year working across state and local government authorities. So we expect everyone to work together. This is really a coordinated effort to keep it safe and keep it successful.
Yeah, let's hope we can put politics aside. We're talking about trying to protect people from like acts of terrorism stuff. So that would be great if everybody could just, you know, get over themselves for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Last question. There are some games in Mexico. There have been some areas mm-hmm. of Mexico that have not been safe as of late. So if we have Americans who are traveling, soccer fans to Mexico, are there any additional steps that they need to take to make sure that they're safe?
I'm really, really happy you asked this. You know, today is the first game. I believe it's in Mexico and Guadalajara, Mexico against South Africa. Look, we have, for all U.S. citizens, a very robust system in place to keep you informed, to keep you confident when you're traveling. And that's by visiting travel.state.gov. It is a one-stop shop to get all the information you need about your destination, including Mexico and Canada. It includes those travel advisories that indicates the threat level in a certain location. And Mexico is really interesting because of the size. Not only do we have travel advisories for the country, but by state. So if you're going to a game, for instance, in Guadalajara, you might have a travel advisory that's lower level, maybe a level 2, but the state of Jalisco might have a higher travel advisory, a level 3. And so you really want to take a look at those travel advisories when you're traveling to Mexico, Canada, anywhere else for that matter. It also includes entry and exit requirements, visa requirements. We want you to have all this at your fingertips and when you travel so you feel comfortable. But the additional piece of advice that I have to make sure I say is that if you can enroll in the Smart Traveler Enrollment Program, and this is called STEP for short, this allows U.S. Embassy diplomats like myself and others to really send you messages in real time. It could be a public health alert, a security alert. We want to make sure you get that information. We're getting that information. We're sending it to you. And so enroll in STEP. Take a look at travel.state.gov. Go and enjoy the games. We have been working with Mexico and Canada as the three of us host this amazing World Cup. We look forward to really just what the president has been calling a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Well, I love it. Mignon Houston, Deputy Spokesperson for the U.S. State Department. I hope and expect that Seattle leaders will treat all of our federal agencies and agents with the utmost respect when they're here. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, we will hold them accountable for that. So thank you so much for your time.
That's it. Thank you, Brandy.
Yeah, although I expect them to screech that every federal agent or person dressed in black they see is ICE is here. ICE is here to detain people. I asked you in our daily subscriber show poll on Patreon, Locals and X, do you believe Iran should be allowed in the U.S. for the games? Yes or no? And of course, I'm talking about the team, right? The team. Nicole, yes or no?
Yes, because it's the World Cup. We're just the host, and we've agreed to host it. They're part of the world.
Yeah, there's countries that probably wouldn't let us in if we start picking and choosing. And you know what?
There would be repercussions to that.
Most of the Nicole's like, bomb the shit out of you, whatever Trump says. 70% of you agree that yes, they should be allowed into the U.S. for the games. Kelly said, not everyone in Iran is a terrorist and not everyone thinks America is evil. But I do think that there should be close monitoring of the players just in case. Junie says, I voted yes. Sports is meant to bring people together and rise above political strife. Chip, sure, as long as everyone entering the country is vetted properly. If there's a single red flag or tie to terrorism, deny entry. That should go for every person coming to this great nation for whatever reason. And that seems to be the general sentiment of it. Ed says, how many will seek asylum? Honestly, I would. If I was coming to the U.S. from Iran, I would absolutely seek asylum.
Refuse to get back on the plane.
Yeah, I'm not getting back on the plane. I'm staying here. So let's see. Tony, unclear why not. Didn't approve of Germany excluding Israel either. Yeah, you could absolutely touch and go. Let me read one from locals here. Ballet gym mom, the players and coaches, yes. After extensive screening, fans, no. Yeah, I do kind of agree that it's kind of sad, though, because, like, they won't have anyone cheering for them, you know? But I kind of agree that, like, let's not get carried away with how many people from Iran we allow come in during the games. But again, most of the citizens aren't the actual issue. It's the government. Fugitive Mama on X, I'm surprised the U.S. State Department doesn't already have a ban. But without it, let them play. All right, let them play, we shall. Okay, we'll get to Florida Report. It is Thursday. That's I totally forgot what we were doing. It's Thursday. That's when we check in on what's happening in the Sunshine State. It is our segment, Florida Report.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Miranda, hello.
Hello.
Wishing Miami a successful World Cup as we embark on ours in Seattle.
Yeah.
We'll see if there's any drama. Hopefully not. I don't want drama for anyone, except the teams that lose. I mean, you can't avoid some drama. On the field. Keep the drama on the field. Out of the streets. All right. But DeSantis loves a little drama. He has declared June Faith and Family Month. Gee.
He has.
Isn't June already some other month? I can't think of what that is.
Yeah, it's actually, it's multiple different months. It's not just Pride. I think it was already Men's Mental Health Awareness Month before they announced Pride. And then in a lot of other states, there's Fatherhood Month, Nuclear Family Month, Fidelity Month. And so we joined the movement by declaring June as Faith and Family Month. And DeSantis is just encouraging, you know, local groups, churches, schools, and community to, you know, put a lot of effort into the nuclear family, helping families, you know, get therapy or have events that bring the whole family together, and just really trying to focus on creating a stronger nuclear family.
Yeah. Okay. Multiple months can exist at the same time. And I think at this point in America, having a Faith and Family Month is probably a good idea. Although I don't think Washington's going to do the same thing.
I don't think so. I did learn in reading about this that the word June actually comes from a Latin word that translates to youth, which is why there's a lot of family related month titles in the month of June.
Or also, you know, they try to indoctrinate the youth with the trans stuff. So it could also work that way as well. All right. We've been talking about, you know, some concern and criticism around AI. And I think there's a lot of reason to be fearful about AI and also hopeful about what AI can do to advance our civilization. But this Florida man, maybe not the biggest fan of AI.
Yeah, no. So a man is suing the Jacksonville Beach Police Department. He was wrongfully arrested after the police department used an AI facial detection software that compared security camera footage to his, I believe, driver's license photo incorrectly. So this all took place in 2023. There was months of kind of like him waiting on edge thinking he was going to get arrested because he got a phone call from the Jacksonville Police Department saying, "You've been identified in this video luring a minor." Right?
At a McDonald's.
And he's like, at a McDonald's. He's like, "I was not there. I was 300 miles away." And months went by. I mean, he called his local police department. They're like, "That's weird." So he just waited. And then one day he got arrested because of this false identity, like identification from this video. And it turns out that the police department had taken a cell phone video of the security footage. So like, take your camera, record a screen, and then put the video you recorded through this facial recognition software. And this man said when he saw the two side-by-sides, he's like, "It didn't even look like me."
Wow.
And so the charges are, you know, dropped, but he's still, you know, there's fallout when you're wrongfully accused of something like luring a minor.
I know. Yeah, especially away from McDonald's. That makes you extra creepy. No matter where you lure a minor, but away from a McDonald's. But in all seriousness, the ACLU is now suing. He's one of the plaintiffs in that lawsuit against the Jacksonville Police Department. And if anything, I hope that the lawsuit does lead to more of a honing, right? And, you know, and there's certain police technologies, you know, and as has developed over time. For instance, you can't use a lie detector as evidence against someone. Because, you know, the technology is just, there's ways to beat it. There's times it's wrong. And so AI can be a tool, but it can't be the only tool you use to arrest someone.
Exactly. It can't be like the last say in the situation.
It's
not supposed to be used like that. It's supposed to be used to kind of generate a list of potential suspects, but not supposed to be like, "Oh, it's this guy, let's go get him," type situation.
Right. Well, clearly he was 300 miles away, he had an alibi, and they couldn't place him there. So the only thing they were using to arrest him was the AI, which is just wild. All right. Yeah. So in some areas of the country, the immigration enforcement surge seems to have died down a little. And that's because there's literally no one crossing the southern border. I mean, it's like zero, right? But in Florida, DeSantis says, "Not here. We're still gung-ho trying to identify people in the state illegally."
Yeah, and a lot of this is in part with our cooperation of our local and state officials that are cooperating with ICE and DHS.
Yeah.
I mean, they're making traffic stops and in different stings for different reasons around the state that are locating minors for any particular reason and sexual predators and, you know, thieves. They're collecting a lot of illegal immigrants during those just regular operations. And because our local officials cooperate with DHS, we just hand them over. We don't protect them like some sanctuary states are doing.
Yeah, here's Governor DeSantis talking about this continuation in their effort.
With the advent of the Trump administration, we knew we had an opportunity to actually see immigration laws enforced, reverse the Biden illegal border invasion that he allowed over four straight years, and relieve burdens on our citizens. I think the success has been really, really significant. And if you look at how we've worked with the Trump administration, it's not been a single state that has come anywhere close to doing what we've doing. Because of the state and local involvement, we've been able to supplement what DHS is doing by more than 25,000 illegal alien arrests and processing for deportation. Here's what I can tell you. The state of Florida is safer as a result of these efforts. There is no question in my mind.
Yeah, and I know there's people who don't like the, oh, go proactively get them. But look, we had an unprecedented surge of illegals across the southern border. That's going to take an unprecedented effort to reverse and to try to, you know, stop some of the drain on our social safety nets that resulted from it. So I would say you got like 3 years left, not even under Trump. How many years left? 2.5. Let's just get done what we need to get done in case the next president is someone who won't.
And when you look at the numbers, like, it's like 39,000 here in Florida in just like a matter of a year or less than a year. That's a lot of illegals in one state, in my opinion. When you really look at that and think about it, and like if you multiply that across all the states, I know Texas is way above, but they share a border. Why wouldn't you take advantage of having the support of the administration and just get the job done?
Makes sense. All right, Miranda, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Meow. Yeah, keep it going. Keep it going. I have also come a long way on the immigration thing. It's like if they're going to treat every illegal alien like a perfectly reasonable, law-abiding person that never did anything wrong, then well, I'm going to treat them all like criminals. No, I'm not going to do that. But I do think that so many came in across the southern border. I mean, you could have full-time teams in every city in America dedicated to getting people out of the country who are here illegally, and it would take all of probably 5 years to get it done. So by all means, if you're a small to mid-sized landlord, we'll get to comments from the live stream coming up next. If you're a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington, rhawa.org, rhawa.org. They are Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers and working to protect private property rights in Washington state from those who want to take your property for their own nefarious uses. rhawa.org. I don't know what that accent was. Or it was a villain. That was my villain accent. RHAWA.org, RHAWA.org. They can help you with screening, forms, keep you up to date on changing rules and regulations, and I recommend checking out the events they have all year long. They've got a lot of good events on politics in general, but housing policy specifically as well. RHAWA.org. All right, comments from the live stream on the initiative thief arrested. RM Colm says, someone said they thought he's a union thug since unions wouldn't benefit. And actually, yes, it does appear that he belongs to the local pipe fitters union. So he is a member of a union. I don't know if that drove this decision that he made. All he keeps ranting about in the video is the fact that you're not supposed to be here gathering signatures. The store doesn't want you here, etc. Okay. On no charges in the case of Callie Keeler, who says she was sexually assaulted by a trans wrestling opponent. Average Joe says, I truly hope his wrestling peers isolate him and refuse to practice with him. Women should not be forced to wrestle against men. This is pretty basic and logical. And look, at the young ages, wrestling is co-ed by choice. You get to choose whether you want to be in co-ed wrestling, not some sort of surprise because you've got a guy who dresses like a girl and you're not sure. Greg says, the prosecutor needs to be fired immediately. Failure to do their damn job. This is ridiculous. Again, I'm not so sure that I disagree with the notion that it would be a hard case to prove. You can be mad at me for saying that. I said that at the very beginning when it first came out. But the case that's easy to prove is failure to report.
Right.
That is the case that is absolutely easy to prove. And then I'd agree with you if they don't charge on the failure to report. Because there's no doubt.
And how there's long does it need to take?
Right. No.
Come on.
Michael Wise, need to sue the school district or possibly the state for refusing to prosecute the sexual assault. I'll gladly participate to help fund that. Well, they are filing suit against the state, the school district, for failure to report, for allowing it to happen, and for the general policies that put girls in these positions. Katrina Ferguson, probably no relation. Where's all the supporters of the Me Too movement? Exactly. Doesn't matter. Because on the woke hierarchy, girls are pretty close to the bottom. The males, if they're white, doesn't even matter. If you identify as some sort of gender fluid anything, then you're above girls and women. Big Princess sponsoring the unbelievable boop in honor of Chuck. No, you're saying in honor of Chuck. I'm getting very worried about Chuck.
I kind of am too.
Did something happen to Chuck? Very concerned. Does anybody know? We really take all of our homies' health and well-being very seriously. Coop says, we don't have locker rooms to confirm people's gender. They exist to separate boys and girls. This is insane. Yeah. Christian Nelson. And honestly, like, do you need someone in the locker room monitoring kids?
Right.
I don't know if that's necessary. That makes no sense to me.
I mean, that is where the fight happened that we covered a few mm-hmm. months ago. But so, I mean, I'm fine with a teacher being in their office if it's a female yes. teacher. But it's quite obvious that if you are not a female, you shouldn't be in that teacher's office.
No, it doesn't matter if you're non-binary or trans. It doesn't matter at all.
And I just think this is part of like this world where we've told people facts are not facts and that you just have to accept it and believe it. So the people that are in the district or in the school that are accepting of this, they've chosen to believe it is a fact. That
I think some and some have chosen cowardice and they're just not going to say anything.
That's true. I mean, luckily some have been reaching out and that's how we heard about this, is because I got a lot of emails and some within the district. But I still think that there is this, like, well, we feel sorry for these people because they're confused or whatever it is. And
I don't feel sorry for anyone.
You know, this is how they identify, so we're accepting of it. No.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard. All right, Christian Nelson. Progressives, we need to teach comprehensive sex education all the way down to kindergarten so that kids can learn about consent and safe touching. Also progressives, all boundaries are fascist, and we don't care if our policies make students and parents uncomfortable. Exactly. Matt. You get two comments today because they're both good. I've talked to staunch Democrats in Washington recently that are totally on our side on these issues. And we left that in because, but they don't say anything. I have a lot of Democrats who've told me privately, I agree with you. Even very progressive Democrats, they don't say anything. Absolute cowards. Unreal. He also said, on the World Cup, I'd be more worried about Antifa terrorists than Iranian terrorists. I agree. I for sure agree with that. Old Sub Sailor, a $50 super chat, Brandy and Nicole vacation fund. Drink a few for me, ladies. Thank
Will
you.
Do.
I'm ready. I leave today. So,
are you ready?
My vacation begins today. I'm always ready. Papa Woody, $2 for the snort jar. Did I snort today? Must have,
yeah.
It just happens so frequently, I just don't pay attention to it. All right, we'll get to our closing sanity check and some housekeeping.
I don't think anybody knows where he is. I'm not seeing any comments about where Chuck is. Mystery of the day.
I know. Maybe Chuck's on vacation.
Possibly.
I'll get to our closing sanity check in a moment and some housekeeping. First, a lot of investors right now are focused on AI, crypto, tech. But given what's happening in the Middle East, energy can influence your retirement portfolio if your current advisor isn't paying enough attention to it. Energy impacts everything: inflation, transportation, manufacturing, global markets. If oil supply disruptions continue, is your current advisor and is your portfolio prepared? Reach out to our friend Zach Abraham at Bulwer Capital for a free Know Your Risk portfolio review. KnowYourRiskPodcast.com. And he can go through the impact energy could have on your retirement portfolio. Plus, as always, a full reveal of how Bulwark is focused on risk management. Always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. Go to KnowYourRiskPodcast.com. KnowYourRiskPodcast.com. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. All right, we had a different one planned, but some breaking news. President Trump saying that they have a deal with Iran. Do you believe him? I guess I believe him. Do you want me to read his post or you want to play his video?
Let's play his video. He announced it on Truth Social before he was with a bunch of fishermen.
Oh, okay.
And a bunch of seafood industry people in the White House.
They're probably like, I love, first of all, when he's having a totally unrelated press conference, and then he's like, I have a deal with Iran.
And it happened to you.
It happened to me when I was there for Antifa and we found out there was peace in the Middle East. All right, let's listen.
Just made a great settlement of the war with Iran. And we're going to be subject to finalization of documents. We should get done over the next few days. Probably have a signing maybe in Europe. And it's a great thing. Stock market's up 1,000 points. That means they like the deal. See, that means they like, if the market goes down, that means they don't like the deal. But it's been up. Oil's dropped. Oil will start coming down to, I think, even lower than it was before. We had, and most importantly, we have a deal that Iran will never have a nuclear weapon, which was the whole purpose of what we had to go through to get this. So it was a big, very big thing.
Now, look, if that's true, and in that deal, it says no enrichment, no nuclear weapons, that's significant. And that's what was the point of all of this. And I think that would have been worth, at least to me, the amount of pain at the pump that Americans endured in the meantime. But I got to be honest. I need to see it. You got to get pen to paper at this point, because you also said this was going to be done in 4 days. Been a lot longer, Trump. I always do his.
That Middle East announcement.
A lot longer than 4 days.
A little more enthusiasm.
Yeah, but apparently he says approved by all parties, including the U.S., Israel, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Turkey, Pakistan, Bahrain, Kuwait, all the important people, Egypt. You know, most of the ones that are going to be here for the World Cup. We could have the bill signing during the World Cup.
Wow.
I think that would be a wonderful moment for world peace and for America. Before Nicole plays me off, a reminder, we will not be here next week. We are going to take a little bit of time off. It's one of two actual vacations we take during the year. But we have some great content planned, series out of Idaho, just talking about the very real phenomenon of political flight and wealth flight from Washington State. So I hope that you enjoy that. We will not miss an episode of Sundays with Subscribers. We've got them all ready to go for you. Some really good conversation around ballot harvesting. We're going to have a conversation around an effort to create a third political party in Washington State for sane people. So yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. And then I'll be back the week of the 22nd. Nicole will not, so Daryl will be filling in for Nicole. He's graciously agreed to do that. I wonder if he'll bring the little one. He's got a new little one at home. Probably not, but
Daddy,
that's okay.
Daryl.
Daddy Daryl. All right. If you'd like to support our show and become a paid subscriber, it's just $5 a month. I think that's a pretty good deal. Go to Undivided. I'm biased, but I do think that's a good deal. Go to UndividedPod.com. We've never raised our rates, by the way. Inflation? What inflation? They've stayed the same for 5 years. UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. You can shop our merch store while you're there. That's it. That's all I have for you. I'll miss you per the usual. Someone figure out where the hell Chuck is. It's really stressing. I don't think I could enjoy my vacation until I know, as a matter of fact. Talk to you later.